warm welcome, and it's amazing how many people here seem to remember us from just the one visit that we had last time we were here, last March. And it's nice to be here with you, and I didn't realise that there were so many children that would be here tonight. It's nice to see all you children here too. And perhaps we've got a little story this evening from the Word of God that might cheer you too, because it's about a woman who very much wanted to have a baby and she couldn't, and yet when she prayed, the Lord answered her prayer. And so we're going to look at that story. Who knows where that is? There's quite a few cases like that, isn't there, in the Bible? But this lady's name starts with H. Do you remember her? I think you would. So we're going to read from the Word of God this evening, from Samuel, the first book of Samuel. And actually the passage that we're going to look at is in the second chapter. So we're going to read to get the context and to understand what is happening and what brought about this very beautiful prayer that Hannah prayed after the Lord had given her a son. But to get the context of it, we'll start to read together from verse 4 of the first chapter of 1 Samuel. Verse 4 of the first chapter of the book of Samuel. Where we read, "And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah and her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Anna prayed, and now Anna, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and my grief I have spoken hitherto. When Hegai answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy portion that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Therefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Anna had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. The name Samuel means asked of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew the bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Now this is the prayer that we're going to consider this evening. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren have borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among the princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. Out of the heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. We'll leave our reading at that verse. Shall we now just have a brief word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us in understanding his word. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. For thou art a great God, and greatly to be praised. Thou art the one who hath created the heavens and the earth, and all things are controlled by thee. All things are sustained and upheld by the word of thy power, so that we know that thou didst not only create the earth, but thou dost also sustain it, and that thou hast set it in its orbit, and thou hast kept thy creation, and thou dost continue to do this. We see that thou art the Almighty God. Thou art the one who is eternal and everlasting. Thou art the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thou art the one who has decreed all things that come to pass, so that all things answer to thy will and to thy decree. Thou art such a great God and such a glorious God that none can look upon thee and live. We realize, Lord, that it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ, it is only through that precious righteousness that he gives to us, and the forgiveness of our sins through his sacrifice upon the cross, that we can so much as lift our heads to thee, or our hearts to thee this night. And so we praise thee that we can call thee our Father, and we praise thee that we know of thy love in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the forgiveness of our sins, and in the reconciling of ourselves unto thee, of taking us into thy family by means of adoption, so that we are called the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And as thou hast promised that thou wilt live with us and walk with us, and that thou shalt be our God and we shall be thy people, so we praise thee this evening. We ask, Lord, that it might please thee to bless thy word to us as we look at it, that we might see how great thou art, we might be caused to have confidence as we come to pray to thee, knowing that thou art a sovereign God, knowing that thou art also the God who has ordained prayer as the very means by which thy will is brought to pass in this world. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with us, and that thou wilt bless us through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, for we ask it for his sake. Amen. It's a rather beautiful story, isn't it? The story of Hannah. She was persecuted by Elkanah's other wife, who had sons and daughters, and she ridiculed her because she was barren. And it brought great grief to her that Peniah treated her in this way. She provoked her. And so Hannah was brought to tears. She wept. And she didn't eat as the result of the affliction that she felt, because she felt that the Lord had shut her womb, that she couldn't have children. This affected her in such a way that she lost all the joy of life. And so she was cast down. But the wonderful thing is with God's people is that when such afflictions and troubles happen to them, they do a wonderful thing for them. They cause them to turn to God. And this is what happened with Hannah. Although she was greatly saddened because of what was happening and she couldn't have children, she realized that God was in control of her life, and so she went to him in the right and only way that we can go to God in such circumstances and situations in our lives, no matter what it might be that is troubling us, no matter what the circumstances of our lives might be that are harsh and hard for us, that we can go to God in prayer. And that's what she did. She went up to the temple of God and she went up to pray, to seek the Lord. She spoke in her heart. She didn't speak words that Eli could hear, but she poured out her heart to God. And there are some times that we are indeed so afflicted that we find it very hard to find words to express what is going on in our hearts. And the Bible speaks about that and tells us that in such a case that the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so we come to God in that way in prayer, even though we can't really rightly express ourselves in words, but yet God knows our hearts and God knows the desires of our hearts. He knows the petitions of our hearts. And so this was the very case, I believe, with Hannah. And so she sought the Lord. And it's interesting the role that Eli played here, isn't it? When he found out that she was not a woman of Belial at all, but that she was indeed a godly woman. You notice in verse 17, then said Eli, then answered Eli and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou hast asked of him." And so Hannah had not only prayed herself and offered these prayers to God, but through this situation she had come to the servant of God, and he had also prayed for her. He prayed that God, the God of Israel, would answer the cry of her heart. He was a man of compassion, and he wanted very much for God to be with her and to grant her her desire. And so it was that we find that here that God did answer her prayer and gave her a child, a man child, and she called his name Samuel. And of all the men that we have in the Bible, Samuel is one of the most outstanding, most godly. Throughout all his life, he pursued to serve God and to honour God in his life. She called him Samuel because he was asked of God and given by God. You notice here that it says that and the child, in verse 24, and the child was young. This was when she took him up to serve with Eli. I looked up the Hebrew word for that, and it really has a variety of meanings, but one of the most applicable in this situation was that he was a young boy. He wasn't just a toddler, but he was a young boy. And so from the age of a young boy, he was taken up to be with Eli and to serve the Lord, to do the little things that he could do as a young boy, and to worship the Lord as a young boy. I suppose this is encouraging, isn't it, for you children that are here this evening, that from a very young age we can serve the Lord. We can have a heart to serve the Lord. And we can take that from Samuel here, and take that example and determine in our hearts too, as young children, that we will be those who will be sincere and serve the Lord as our parents seek to serve the Lord. Because Hannah was a godly woman, and she brought him up in the ways of the Lord, of course, and taught him as your parents teach you. And so it is that he willingly went from the family to serve in this way in the temple of the Lord. But this whole situation and this wonderful work of God in Hannah brought about this prayer that we have in that is so well known in chapter 2. And it's a rather amazing prayer. It's a prayer that Hannah prays that perhaps you wouldn't think that it would come forth on this occasion, because it's unusual in some aspects, but yet there is a common thread that runs through it, I believe, as we will see. You notice in verse 1, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." And I think that this is a wonderful lesson, isn't it, for all of us when it comes to prayer, that there should be within all of us a heart of rejoicing in the great things that God has already done for us. We should not just come to ask a multitude of things, but that we should always remember how that God has previously answered our prayers. And this is indeed what has inspired this prayer of Hannah. She remembers what God has done, how he has indeed exalted her horn, her strength. It's been exalted in the Lord. And those that were so nasty to her, those who were her adversaries, those who spoke against her and no doubt said things like this to her, "You haven't had any children because you are not blessed of the Lord, and the Lord is not with you." And they would have derided her. And so now she comes to return thanks to God and to acknowledge that God has exalted her, given her strength, enlarged her over her enemies, over those that spoke so much against her and made her life such a misery. And she says she rejoices in the salvation of God. Now this no doubt was the very fact that God had answered her prayer and given to her a child, but It was more than that. I believe with Hannah, she really was a child of God, and she rejoiced in God's salvation, the forgiveness of her sins. You notice she brought the bullock, two of them. Was it two? She brought these bullocks at anyhow and offered them when she brought her child up to the temple. And so she was really showing that she needed forgiveness for her sins. She needed the cleansing of the blood of the sacrifice. She needed to obey God in all that he had commanded her to do. And so she was a deeply pious and godly woman, and she knew the salvation of God. She looked, no doubt, forward to the time when the Saviour would come, the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice in verse 2 how she says that there is only one true God. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. So she acknowledges the holiness of God, the uniqueness of God, how that God is the only true and living God, and that he is our God. It was a personal thing with her. He was her God. And so she prays in this frame. We notice then that having commenced her prayer with that giving glory to God and acknowledging God as he is, and all our prayers should give glory to God and acknowledge who he is, acknowledge how great he is, and that there is no other God beside him or like unto him, and that he is the thrice holy God. We always should remember those things in our prayers. And then she goes on to give an exhortation, and to give an exhortation to everyone who would listen. Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. She was aware of the fact that people speak proudly and arrogantly. They speak as though they are in control of all things. They speak as though God doesn't exist. They will not acknowledge God, the wonderful one and only true God, they won't acknowledge. And so she brings this exhortation to all those that are in such a state, warning them that the Lord is a God of knowledge and that he knows their hearts. And by him are all their actions and all their words weighed. She goes on to give illustrations of how great God is and how wonderful his works are. You notice here in verse 4, the bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. And I think this sets the tone for the rest of the prayer, this verse 4, because the rest of the prayer really deals with the matter of how God can reverse a situation, how he can take the things that are mighty, the things that are acknowledged in the world as powerful, the things that people exalt even against and above God, that he can take those things and that he can destroy them. He can take those that speak proudly and those that lift themselves up against God, and that he can cast them down. And he can take
those that are humble and those that have no strength, and he can lift them up and he can exalt them. And the whole of the rest of the prayer really brings these truths to us. The mighty and those that are proud and those that are arrogant against God, God can cast down and God will cast down. But those that are humble, those that are stumbling along, so to speak, and have no strength of their own, he can strengthen them. You notice in verse 5, the full have hired themselves out for bread, but they that were hungry have ceased. The barren, they have borne children. And so God reverses the whole order of things, the natural order of things, and he causes the needy and the poor to be strengthened and to know his blessing, whereas those that are full and arrogant are cast down. And he exalts the poor and the needy. Again, we notice in verse 8 that is the very thing that happens. He brings them out of the dust. He lifts up the beggar from the dunghill and places him among princes, causes him to inherit the throne of glory. For the pillar of the earth is the Lord's, and he has set the world on them. She is really saying that God is sovereign, that God is all powerful. That's why he can do these things. That's why he does do these things. Because God is the one, as she says in verse 6, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. So it is God that does these things. He is Almighty God. And it is only really as we see that God is Almighty that we can come in prayer with confidence to him, knowing that he is able to do those things that others cannot do. With him is power and glory. You notice in verse 9 something else that she says, and she always comes back to this, that he will keep the feet of his saints. Now there are two things here in this verse, you notice, and it's the same all the way through this prayer. He will keep the feet of his saints. God is faithful to his people, but the wicked, they will know judgment. They will be cast down. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. Those that speak proudly, God shall thunder out of heaven upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. It is a visionary prayer that Hannah prays, showing these wonderful things that God will and can do for his people. She is inspired because of what God has done for her, to glory in God, to glory in the power of God, the righteousness and justice of God. She glories in all those wonderful attributes of God because she experienced those things in her own life. And so it brought forth such a prayer that is a prayer of praise and honour to the God of her salvation. May it be that as we pray, that we will have such a concept also of God, and that we will be motivated because of what God has done and is doing for us in our hearts. Amen. There's a psalm I would like you to sing, Psalm 61, the first five verses of this psalm.